Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
I'm Molly Bay.
Bucko Bruce in the house. How about that?
Could it really be any more perfect?
I know, right?
I mean, Bucko Bruce, Bruce Arians. His initials are B-A, like Tampa Bay, B-A.
Oh, what? Wow. Check you out. What? You are going deep with
that. No, that was on Twitter. Well, I don't want to take credit for
no
that.
No risk it, no biscuit. I've been saying that for like 2 days straight. No risk it, no biscuit.
I need to hear him say it. I don't know that I even know his voice.
What?
Are you serious? I think so.
Huh. You need to watch the Amazon, what's it called? All It Takes, whatever. All or Nothing, whatever. They followed the Arizona Cardinals in 2015.
Oh, interesting.
14? I can't remember. Yeah, when they went 13-3.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really get a good flavor for Bruce Arians on
that. Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Have you watched it?
I swear to God, we watched it.
Maybe.
I think we watched it years ago.
Okay, that was 4 years ago. It's 2019 now.
Yeah, that's right. I forget. You got the memory of a worm, so.
Who are you? Where are we? What day is it? What am I?
Anyhow, we're going to go over the All-22 of the Week 17 game against Atlanta real quick.
Although no one really wants to relive that.
Yeah, nobody cares, but we're going to do it anyhow because it's interesting. We did this podcast yesterday, and it was an hour long. We got through – that was how long it took just to get through the All-22, and then we had technical difficulties and lost the whole thing. We were so frustrated. We were like, screw it. We're going to sleep. Going to bed.
We're going to talk about this again.
We're going to do it again.
Do it again. Abbreviated this time.
Yes. All right. To go through it real quick, the field was way slippery. I counted, I didn't count, but there was at least 25 slips. I'm saying closer to 30, over 30 wouldn't surprise me. There was a lot of slips. Well, the first play of the game, Winston goes back to pass and he slips and basically does the splits and then throws a horribly incomplete pass.
Horribly incomplete. Not just incomplete.
Not it just was incomplete.
Horribly
incomplete.
Yeah,
it sailed out of bounds like 10 yards.
Yeah.
It was a simple pass to the sidelines. Yeah, it was crazy. But anyhow, it affected both teams. It wasn't like it helped one team out more than the other. But it's something I've always said about the Buccaneers. As long as I've been watching them, they're equipment managers are horrible because they never seem to get the right cleats. We seem to fall and slip more than most teams. And I've seen games where both teams will be slipping during the first half, and then they'll come out. The other team has changed their cleats and stuff. They won't slip anymore. We'll just keep slipping.
You would think that they would be pretty good at it, given that they're in Florida and it rains every day.
You would think. You would think we would have the advantage here because
it's our wet field.
It's our wet field, but we didn't. Obviously.
That's so weird.
Yeah. The slipping wasn't as bad in the second half as it was in the first, but it was still noticeable. Yeah. But people were sliding all over the place. JPP played exclusively left defensive end again, just like he did last week. I don't know what that's all about. Our offensive linemen did a pretty decent job. They weren't horrible, but I think that's more to the fact that Atlanta's defensive line is not that great. McGrady Jarrett's about the only person they got. They got Vic Beasley too, but he's just so small. He doesn't really beat linemen. He speeds them out. You know, he's not gonna beat you by strength or he's gonna outmaneuver you.
Our big lumbering linemen.
Yeah. Well, one thing I do want to say, and this is something that I've noticed all year long and last year too, our offensive linemen are just horrible at blocking downfield in space. And we run a lot of screens and a lot of pulling and all that. And once you get these guys out in space, they're just not good at all.
They're basically useless.
Yes, they whiff on just about every block. I'd say 80% of the time they don't block anybody or they just barely block somebody.
I mean, is it designed that way? It can't be designed that way.
No.
I hope not.
No, because it's not even like they're getting in the way of guys.
Are they just not trying or are they not good at it?
They're just not good at it. But then, as soon as I said that, and I typed that in my notes, this was about the third quarter, 7:35 left. The line pulls and does a great job. I mean, Donovan Smith blows up 29, just drives him into the dirt. So
we had one well-executed play all season.
It is. It's very rare. You know, Jensen pulls, and he just doesn't block well. Marpet pulls, he doesn't block well. Thomas Smith pulls. He doesn't block well in space or anywhere.
Smith. Once a game, maybe.
Yes. Kappa and Beninock rotated by series in this game. When originally when they were doing the rotation with Beninock and Evans, Evan Smith, they were rotating by quarter. But then when Kappa and Beninock started rotating, they started doing it by series. So it wasn't like every other series. It was like Beninock will play for two or three offensive series, and then Kappa will play for two or three offensive series. And both of them did pretty good. They did decent. A few knocks on them, but not bad. And they actually had some good plays, too. So I'm not that upset with Beninock or Kappa.
Okay.
Yeah. The refs were equally shitty to both teams. Six mistakes apiece by the refs, so 12 total. But the big issue that I had with this game in my notes was Winston again. You know, he's scrambling out of the pocket when he doesn't need to, and he's not seeing the field. He had six open receivers he missed in this game. I think last week it was nine. This week it was six. You know, six wide open guys that he just doesn't see. And a couple of them were for touchdowns that he just didn't see.
Well, hopefully the quarterback whisperer can fix that.
Right. Yeah, we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about Arians here in a little bit after we go over the All-22, and then we're going to talk about some Brent Grimes as well. We'll do Brent Grimes first. But anyhow, Vita Vea is still a beast. He was not as dominant in this game as he was the last game, but he was still dominant. He was probably the most hardest playing player out there on defense. He absolutely crushed Alex Mack one time, weakened his knees, and steamrolled over top of him. Straight took him to the ground. He gets to the quarterback so fast sometimes. I've got 1.76 seconds, 1.18 seconds, 2.13 seconds. You know, he's getting quarterback hits and he's getting pressures.
That's phenomenal with our division.
Yeah, we're really going to need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you watch this game, I don't think Matt Ryan had 3 seconds to throw this ball the whole game. Mm. I mean, he had to get the ball out quick. Vita Vea is...
I mean, he can, too. That's the
right.
thing.
Right. He'll and Drew Brees get the ball out quick.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to game plan around Vea. They cannot have four-second dropbacks. You know, seven-step dropbacks and sit back there for 4 seconds waiting for these long-ass routes to... So if we get... You know, cornerbacks to not sit off the line of scrimmage 10 yards, you know, and play the man press coverage.
Brent Grimes.
Then we can, you know, put a stop to that. I mean, that's easy to stop. If you've got a guy rushing up the center that can get to the quarterback in 2 seconds, you should dominate every game.
But isn't that not a defensive tackle's job? Isn't that what we've heard for 10 years?
Well... Yes, actually, theoretically, his job is not to do that, but he just does it.
Stuff to run,
yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah, his job is to take double teams, keep that gap closed, not let the quarterback step up. But he's so powerful, he just pushes guys back.
Barrels them back.
Yeah.
He, like, tackles the quarterback with the lineman.
yeah. Uses them as a meat shield. So I had quite a few plays of that. But I'm not going to go over all of them. We want to make this short.
We did that last night.
We did that last night. Man, it was awesome. There was a couple of plays where the refs really screwed up. There was a hit on Winston that should have been flagged.
Oh, my gosh. He, like, pile-drived Winston the ground.
You see Winston's head hit the ground hard.
Yeah. I mean, there was no question he did not let up.
Yeah. And that was not called. There was a penalty on, or there should have been a penalty on the player for slamming Barber on the ground after the whistle was blown. No penalty there. There was a play. This happened in the first quarter, 51 seconds left. Kappa is in the game. Winston scrambles for 15 yards here. He didn't have to. But the thing with Kappa is Grady Jarrett clubs him right in the back of the head. It looked like a knockout blow to me. I don't know how Kappa's continued playing after this, but Grady Jarrett goes by him and just full out swings his arm and hits Grady in the back of the head, pushing him forward.
It's almost like he was doing like a judo move to like kind of push his head forward and make his momentum, but he ended up just whacking him.
Yeah. I mean, he hauled off, wound up, and hit him in the back of the head. I mean, that was a penalty all day long. I mean, the rule is striking, kicking, or kneeing opponents. This is Article 12. All players are prohibited from striking an opponent with his fist, kicking or kneeing an opponent, striking, swinging at, or clubbing the head, neck, or face of opponent with the wrist, arms, elbows, or hands. I think Grady Jarrett did all of those to Cap on this play. No, he did. He hit him really hard in the back of the head as he was going by him. How they didn't flag that, I don't know. But on that same play, Winston scrambles. He ended up picking up 15 yards, but he scrambled when he didn't need to. And he had Humphreys wide open 20 yards downfield. This is another case of just he's not seeing the field. And I really hope Arians can get that ingrained into his head to, you know, look at the field, see who's open. Like I said, there were 6 inches of that in here where he just did not see open receivers. Julio Jones, I got to talk about him. I hate talking about the opponents in a good light when I'm doing all 22, but Julio Jones is just so good. I just really like him. He's to me, he's probably the best wide receiver in the league, minus Mike Evans. But the reason why I like Julio Jones so much is he's got great route running. He's got great moves, and he's very physical, not just when he's catching the ball, but blocking. I mean, the guy is a great blocker for a wide receiver.
So your birthday coming up, do I get you another number 11 jersey?
I will burn it. I will burn it. I mean, just because I respect the guy doesn't mean I want to wear his jersey. I ain't supporting
him. No, that's not what it sounded like to me.
I know, and I hate doing it, but he jukes out a couple of guys on this thing. He did this. There was one juke out that I was watching this All 22 when we were at a hotel Christmas vacation, and I was just watching certain plays. Wasn't doing an analysis or anything, and I saw Julio Jones do a move that I didn't think was physically possible. This was the fourth quarter, 14:50 left. It's a first and 10. They're up by 4 points on us. And he jukes out Ryan Smith so bad that I thought Ryan Smith was going to walk off the field crying. But what he does is Julio Jones is running down the sideline, and he stops and does this juke move that throws Ryan Smith off, and then Julio Jones keeps running, and he's good, what was it, 6 yards past Ryan Smith before Ryan Smith even realized that he was...
Yeah, not near him anymore. Yeah.
And it was kind of embarrassing for Ryan Smith, but not that embarrassing if you saw what Julio Jones did. Now, when I saw this on the All-22 at the hotel, I was freaking out. I was like, whoa, I have never seen anything. How did he even do that?
It looked like he had, remember those Heelys that everybody had like 10 years ago? It looked like he had some of those.
Yes, and he just controlled it very well and everything. And you're like, wow, it's fantastic. Well, it wasn't until I started watching this All-22 that I realized that the field was very slippery. And what Jones had done is he had went to stop. But instead of stopping, he slid like 4 feet. But he slid in a very controlled movement, you know, and it threw Ryan Smith totally off.
I know. Ryan wasn't even looking at him. Like, his body was totally turned after that point.
Yeah, well, you know, Julio Jones stopped and acted like he was going to go for a curl or something, curl route. And, you know, so Ryan Smith goes to jump in front of him, but little did he know, Jones just kept on sliding and then, you know, ran after that. So, like I said, he was 6 yards down the field. So it was really amazing to watch without knowing that the field was wet. But even after the field was wet, it was still pretty cool to watch.
I bet Julio had some of those Heelys 10 years ago.
That's how he got
it's like muscle
goodness.
Memory. He just channeled that.
He slid and stayed up on his feet. It was pretty cool. On that play, also, Levante David gets blocked in the back by 63 Ben Garland way outside the close line play box. So that should have been a penalty. The play right after that, Vita Vea gets knocked down, and he takes out 3 Falcons with him. It's interesting to watch. So it ends up being a running back screen. So most of the offensive line was supposed to go out and block. And the running back catches the ball, and there's like nobody there.
Vita was bowling for offensive line.
Yeah. He took out 4 of the 7 blockers.
Wow.
That's funny. I really, really like that Vita Vea. Have I said that before?
I don't know. I don't think so.
In this game, have I said that before?
Yeah.
we have a lot of our guys, our defensive guys, running into each other. Hopefully that's going to stop with the new coaching crew.
It's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's amateur hour. What is this, the preseason? You expect it then, not week 17.
Yeah, and it seems to be Grimes a lot. He seems to be getting caught up in the mix with this.
He's playing for the other team. That's why.
Ooh, wouldn't that be something? Hill and David run into each other on a third down, I think it was. Yeah. No, second and 12. This is the first quarter, 13:27 left in the game. Grimes and David just end up running each other, knocking each other off their man. David's man ends up catching a pass for 15 yards. It looks like David throws Grimes to the ground after they run into each other. Don't think they like each other. But then, later in the game, and this seems to happen at least, you know, once or twice a game where our guys are running into each other. And that's just, you can't have that. Not at this level. We do it way too much.
And in costly situations, yeah, too, like in the end zone.
Yes, this one happened in the end zone. It was fourth quarter. They actually score a touchdown because of this. It's fourth quarter, 10:57 left, and Javion Elliott, Brent Grimes, and Andrew Adams all collide hard with each other, knocking Grimes to the ground hard. I mean, you see his head actually flip back. Grimes, like, jumps up in the air like he's going to try to avoid the collision or something, but he ends up getting the brunt of it. I don't know. I actually don't know how he stayed in the game after this. It was a crossing route. The two wide receivers crossed each other, and somehow we had three guys run into each other. Mm-hmm. And this left Julio Jones wide open in the end zone, but Ryan doesn't even throw to him. He throws it to an uncovered Ridley. He was throwing to Ridley before the collision happened. So, but Jones was open. Ridley was open. And this was a play where Levante David was supposed to cover Ridley. Levante David gets confused. So we not only knocked ourselves out of this play, we got beat on the play. So it was just a dumpster fire of a play. Didn't have that many dropped passes in this game. I think I counted two, maybe three. Humphreys had one. Brate had one. Vita Vea was throwing guys around pretty decently. Like I said, he wasn't as dominant as he was last week. I don't know if it was the heat or whatever, but he was still the most dominant lineman we had. He was the best defensive player we had. Levante David didn't really look like he was into this game. I think I pointed out a couple plays to you where he had the opportunity to run and tackle somebody, and he would just stand there. So David just doesn't seem like he was really trying that hard. He had a few good plays, but he had more bad plays than he did. And when I say bad plays, just plays where he just seemed like he just didn't try, didn't care. Actually, in the third quarter, when Atlanta took the lead with 50 seconds left, this was a horrible, horrible play by everybody involved, it seems like. Just everybody from the coaches down to the defensive lineman. Yeah. In this one, David gets blocked initially and just gives up, just kind of stands there like him and the other guy just holding each other. He doesn't even try to get out of the block. The runner ends up running by him by a good 4 or 5 yards. But, you know, if David would have gotten off the block, he could have got to the guy. JPP gets held on this one by 74 for the big run. 93 McCoy, 26 Adams, 97 Curry. They all missed tackles. Curry tried tackling the guy right before he crossed the line. Guy jumped over his tackle. But all of them went for the feet, even when they didn't have to. And it's how they're being coached. You know, I've been complaining about this all year. You know, and I hope that the new regime comes in and they change that mess. I mean, this going for the legs thing, it's rare if we see somebody on the Buccaneers tackle somebody above the waist. You know, they are constantly going for the legs. Go for the legs, go for the legs, go for the legs. And that's what they're being taught, apparently. And I hate it. And crap like this happens. You know, you get a big run for a touchdown because you've got three guys that the running back just breaks out of all their tackles or jumps over their dives to their feet.
And it's been a recurring theme all season. Like the first Carolina game when we just got torched.
Yeah.
And that one run by Curtis Samuel. Yeah. Were four.
On that one, there was four right on that one play. So hopefully that'll be the end of that stupid mess. But then David also does the same thing later in the game. This is, and that last play where we missed tackles and David didn't try to get off the block and just could have stood there and JPP got held. That's when they took the lead.
Oh.
Yeah.
So was that the turning point of the game?
Yeah, kind of. The fourth quarter, 4:35 left. Now, here it is. They get the ball with 5 minutes and 10 seconds left, and they're down by 1 point.
Okay. So they need a field goal minimum.
Right, and they get the ball on the 25.
Okay.
On Atlanta's 25. Mm-hmm. So they got to drive, down the field a ways. They got 5 minutes. You would think, we could stop them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, 4:35 left to go. It's 2nd and 8. Levante David, it's a running play. Levante David kind of takes a bad angle at the runner, kind of pushes him to the outside, but then he gets behind the runner and he just kind of jogs and then stands there instead of chasing the runner to tackle him. And I showed you this on video, and there's like 4 Buccaneers around the runner, and he's just weaving and bobbing between all of them. It takes Vita Vea, a defensive lineman.
Coming from the line
to run all the way over and tackle this guy from behind for, I think it was a 12-yard gain. And on that play, Vita Vea beat 69 Zane Beatles, but the play had run away from him. I mean, he beats just about everybody, every play. And he still runs and tackles a runner from behind. And it was like he was the only one trying on that play. And here it is. I mean, this is an important part of the game. This is a series where the defense has to stop. So they end up getting a first down there.
Well, I think at one time, David was that player that was still playing when no one else was. I think he's just been infected by the culture.
Yes, I do too. And people have talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
And, here you are. You're in a game that doesn't matter. You don't want to get hurt. You're tired of fighting for coaches' jobs, probably. This is what third coach he's had to go through.
And everyone saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
They all knew he was
everybody knew
done. He was fine. Yeah. And some of them wanted him out.
Probably, yeah. Dana, here we go. This is the same series, same drive. There's 2 minutes and 10 seconds left. 1st and 10 on Tampa's 31. Now, they moved down the field. They're already in field goal range here. Julio Jones, he's a great wide receiver, and he is physical when he blocks. Well,
I didn't know you thought that highly of him. <Shut up>. I had no idea.
He lays out Whitehead, 31, lays him out on this play. I mean, just blocks him, takes him off his feet. He looked to me like he knocked him out. Whitehead kind of sits up after the play, but he was woozy. And Julio Jones gets called for unnecessary roughness here. And it's a correct call because it was a blindside block. Although I don't agree with blindside blocks. It was technically a blindside block. But what this does is it makes it 1st and 24 from the 45 with 2 minutes and 4 seconds left. 1st and 24. Your defense should be able to stop a team from getting 24 yards to get a first down.
Right.
There's 2 minutes and 4 seconds left. They're down by 1 point. They're out of field goal range now. So what happens? Well, they end up getting 8 yards the first play. Vita Vea stops the tackle. He has to run across field.
8 yards down the field.
Yeah, 8 yards down the field. Vita Vea runs and tackles Mohamed Sanu. Then right after that, Brian Hill runs right for 5 yards, tackled, of course, by Vita Vea.
And Bo Allen, give Bo some credit.
Yeah, actually, I think Bo did the most on this play. Okay. That play. But on this play, Levante David, and I'm a big Levante David fan. As a matter of fact, it's the last jersey I bought was Levante David. I haven't bought a Buccaneers jersey, and I've probably got 20 jerseys. I love buying jerseys. I love jerseys. I love supporting my team. I love going in public and representing my colors. Levante David is the last one I bought. I've thought about buying a Jameis Winston jersey.
You bought me one. I bought you one.
Yes, she's got one. But I've never bought a quarterback's jersey. I'm a defensive guy, so it just didn't feel right. I'm like,
you feel icky.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't mind having a Michael Evans jersey. I wouldn't mind having a Humphreys jersey. I wouldn't mind having either. But I usually buy jerseys of guys that I just go, wow. And I'm getting me a Vita Vea for a jersey. That's simple. But anyhow, and this one, I'm a big fan of Levante David. I just didn't like what I saw in this game. Here it is on that play. He's engaged with a blocker on the other side of the field of the run. But he doesn't even try to get free, and he just stands there and watches it unfold. That's just not Levante David. just didn't like to see that. And this is an important series. So then it's 3rd and 11 on Tampa's 32. Now, this would be a 49-yard field goal from here. It's 3rd and 11. If we stop them here, it's a 49-yard field goal.
Our kicker couldn't make that.
I know, but this is Matt Bryant, so he most likely, even if he did make it, we'd get the ball back with a minute some left, and we're only down by 2 points.
We can drive down the field.
Yeah, we're going to drive down the field and get field goal, or at least get in field goal range.
Attempt a field goal.
Right. So, you know, all we got to do is stop them here, 3rd and 11. 3rd and 11. So what happens? Here's what happens. Brent Grimes lines up 10 yards off of Julio Jones.
There's a shocker.
On a crucial 3rd and 11, he lines up 10 yards off of Julio Jones. Not only that, when the ball snapped, Brent Grimes backpedals another 5 yards. So he's 15 yards away from the line of scrimmage on a 3rd and 11 with Julio Jones.
So he's just giving them that yardage.
He gave them the yardage. Of course, Julio Jones catches the ball and gets a first down. He catches the ball right in front of Brent Grimes. Brent Grimes doesn't even try to tackle him. This is the second play in this game where Brent Grimes doesn't try to tackle somebody. He just kind of steps out of the way and lets the safety run up and tackle him. It's a zone, really soft coverage. It's bad play calling to begin with. But, you know, Grimes, why would you do that? That gives them a first down. And they're on the 16-yard line, and they just kneel on it, and they run out the clock, kick a field goal. So that play cost us the game. This was the play that cost us the game. It was Brent Grimes lining up 10 yards off the line of scrimmage and then backpedaling another 5 to allow Julio Jones to catch the ball for a first down. But on this play, some positives. Vita Vea does a great Superman. He pushes 74 Ty Sambriello back with such force that Sambriello falls down, causing Vea to have to dive over him to get to Matt Ryan. He almost gets to him, too. Matt Ryan had to throw the... I mean, this happened in 1.85 seconds. That's how long it took Vea to get to Matt Ryan. And I really wish I could get a side angle of that, of Vita Vea, because all I got is the all coaches, all 22. But I want to get Vita Vea, all 300-some pounds of him, horizontal, over top of 74, with his arms outreached, trying to grab Matt Ryan. I think that'd make an awesome picture.
We should look on Getty Images.
Yeah, let's do that.
There's one there.
Hold on. Yeah, it'd be nice to have that picture. So if anybody ever runs across that picture out there, let me know. The play calling was kind of crappy in this game. In the third quarter at 10:23 left. Now, you know, I'm a big fan of Vita Vea, but I'm not a big fan of putting him in coverage. The guy, he just can't jump. I mean, we're talking about a foot max that he can get off the ground. I don't know. But this is a 3rd and 10. This is in the third quarter. We're up 17-7 at this point. They have the ball in the tamp on our 17. So they're in field goal range. It's a 3rd and 10. There's 10:23 left on the clock. So what do we do on a 3rd and 10? You know they're going to pass the ball. So you at least unleash your defensive lineman. Rush the passer, right? Well, what do? We only rush 3. We drop Vita Vea into coverage. We have 8 guys in coverage, so they're 5 receivers.
Okay.
We only have 3 defensive linemen rushing.
So nobody got open, right?
Well, unfortunately, we ended up with 4 guys covering the middle of the field with absolutely no receivers near them.
Oh.
And, of course, Julio Jones ends up catching a pass for about 6 yards from the line of scrimmage. Elliott comes over and makes contact with him about 3 yards from the first down, but... Even though Elliott has a perfect chance and stance to stop him short, Elliott goes for his legs instead of his upper body. And Jones was able to fall forward for the needed first down.
Mm.
God, I hate the tackling technique we've used all year. I can't wait for them to get rid of that.
So the 4 guys in the middle of the field covering no one. Did they trip over each other?
No, they didn't run
into
each other.
All right, you know what? Silver lining.
No, we've got progress. So this ends up giving them an opportunity to, you know, instead of a field goal, they end up scoring a touchdown here, making it 14-17. So, you know, the play calling just sometimes just mystifies me. That one right there, I was just like, what? But that's nothing compared to... You know, that play that I said was the the game changer. The fourth quarter, 1:53 left, third and 11. Grimes, you know, soft coverage, 10 yards off the ball on a third and 11. I don't know how many times I saw him do that this year. And every single time they got a first down. But in this one, it was game over, you know. And this, to me, that summed up the whole season, really. You know, Grimes out there loafing, Vita Vea busting his butt, and us losing the game by a silly margin.
They didn't pay Brent Grimes to shadow number one receiver.
Ah, yes. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. In case nobody's aware, Brent Grimes got on his wife's podcast, I Heart Mika, and he gave some insider information, or at least his version of insider information.
Now, it was almost a two-hour podcast, so it was a lot to get through. They talked about games in the league. They talked about some personal stuff, their New Year's, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I listened to it about a week and a half ago. I don't really remember a whole lot
when it came out.
Yeah, I wish I would have taken notes.
Right.
I really do.
I'm not going to lie, they sound more eloquent than they type. I mean,
Mika's gonna stab you.
I know. I had never really listened to her before. I just saw her illiterate self on Twitter. But she is actually she sounds smart in her podcast.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't sound terrible. They actually sound kind of cool. Like you'd want to hang out with them as people.
Yeah, and I'm sure they are kind of cool. But they're going to have to do it somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't want them back.
No.
And they don't want to be back.
No.
She wants him to go to the Eagles. That's where she wants him.
Yeah. Hey, you know, did you know DeSean Jackson sold his house in Tampa?
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh, okay.
He's done moved out. He's in another state.
Did he donate all his Bucks gear?
Probably.
Probably burned it in the front yard.
Probably. Him and Winston they did not like each other. You know, I don't think on a personal level. Those are the rumors I've heard, too.
They're very different people.
Very different.
Very different. I think Jackson, he's kind of like prototypical Philly. Like, he reminds me.
No sense of humor. All business all the time.
And very, like,
you gotta,
his dress is very northern. Mm-hmm. His style is very northern. We're in the South, so it's just two very different.
Yeah, you always got to put on that hard front.
Yeah.
A badass or something.
Yeah.
Whereas Winston's the exact opposite. He's goofy.
Goofy.
You know, he's from the South. You know, he talks about licking his fingers with chicken wings, crab legs, and all that stuff. So I think they just butted heads right from the beginning.
In any case, back to Grimes.
Yeah, back to Grimes. Okay.
I got off track. What were you going to say?
No, I got a little bit to say.
Okay.
One of the things that amazed me was, they sat there and they tried to say that Grimes had a good year. And they sat there and they went through each game and they talked about, how many times were you thrown at?
Yeah.
And they were saying,
How many plays did you give up?
Right.
Big play.
Yeah. And they were saying, you know, one play, maybe a game or.
Yeah.
You
know, 100 yards in the season.
Yeah. That's Mika was saying that Grimes gave up 100, maybe 100 yards total this year. And it just made me want to get in here and chop up some film and send it to him. It'd be like, you know, and Grimes was sitting there saying, well, you know, people that watch this stuff, they don't know what's going on. They don't know the play that's called and all this. And I'm like, yeah, I understand that. There's a lot of times I'm confused when I'm watching it. I'm like, I don't know if this is zone, if this is man, what they're doing, you know, whether it's cover three, cover four, cover one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to really kind of guess a lot. But I can see when you fall down.
Right.
I can see when you run into other players. I can see when you don't try to tackle. I can see when you play 15 yards off the ball when it's 10 yards to go for a first down. And I can see when you jump up in the air and the other guy catches the ball over top of you.
Yeah.
I don't need to know what the play call is in those circumstances. He gave up much more than 100 yards this year. And I blame him for a lot. I blame him for a lot for how our attitude. I mean, he said in that podcast, he said he did not want to be here this year.
Yeah.
He did not want to play in Tampa.
He said that, he was excited after the 2017 season. He liked the guys that he was playing with that were there.
Mm-hmm. Which he said that some of them, he said all of his friends left.
Yeah, so they're all gone.
Yeah, we don't know who that was. It was probably Keith Tandy, maybe McDonald.
McDougald?
McDougald's gone.
Gone a long time ago. What about Jonathan Banks? How long has he been gone?
Do you even watch this stuff? Yeah, Jonathan Banks has been out of the league for like 3 years.
I know. Okay.
There's a couple guys on special teams that were also backs. I can't recall.
We should look at a roster.
Yeah, we should.
But the Chris Conte, probably, he got injured.
But he was still in the building, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know if you're on IR, do you come in the building?
Oh, yeah, good point.
But
anyhow, he said his friends, he really wanted to come back.
Because of his friends. Right. And then he signed this deal that was disrespectful, that was nothing. Like, it wasn't enough money. $7 million.
Right.
And then they wanted him to shadow number one receivers. And that's not what you do when you pay a cornerback $7 million. Right. You don't pay them $7 million to shadow.
Yeah, and he said that just ruined his whole year.
Yeah.
And he just didn't want to play anymore.
So why did you sign the deal? Why didn't you ask to be traded?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of whys. I mean, why? Because and anybody that's listened to this podcast, you know, you can go back and listen to almost every time I say Brent Grimes' name, I post-face it. I don't even. I follow it with "is useless," because that's what he was this year. He was useless, and a lot of times he was really detrimental. I mean, this Atlanta game was probably the only game I can recall where he had a number of decent plays.
Yeah,
and that was only in the first quarter.
Yeah, well, I think that he's trying to get a job somewhere else, so he needs some
Philadelphia.
Film. Yeah. Well, he'll be a backup there. There's no freaking way they're going to pay him to start.
Now, according to Miko, they've been beaten at their door for a couple years.
Right. You know. Oh, and then he said that he didn't like the coaches because the coaches...
Didn't like Mike Smith, didn't like...
Hoke,
his defensive backs coach, yeah. Quarterback coach.
But he didn't like them because they wanted him to yell at the young guys when the young guys screwed up, and he thinks that's just not a good way to get people to play. So he didn't want to do it, and they said he wasn't a leader.
Bernard Reedy and Dante Dye, those are probably the other two guys that were friends with Grimes that aren't on the team anymore. He said that he was friends with, and then they got rid of these guys, and he was like, I still got friends on the team, but... You know, he's basically saying the guys he liked were gone. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so Philadelphia, according to Mika, Philadelphia wants him, and he was probably auditioning in the first quarter for Philadelphia. But why? I mean, you infect a locker room with that. And JPP said that after the thing. He said, I'm going to keep it real. There's plenty of guys in this locker room that don't keep it real. You know, and basically he's saying they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee you Brent Grimes was one of them.
Yeah. And DeSean Jackson, probably.
Yes, and DeSean Jackson. So why did you play? Why did you go out there? You know, he talked about, and this was something I found very interesting, and I've said this for years, but now that I got confirmation on it, players fake injuries.
Yeah.
Brent Grimes confirmed that.
Yeah.
You know, and he said he even thought about doing it.
Yeah.
So why didn't he? I mean, what was his incentive? I don't know. Did he want us to lose? I don't know.
Maybe. That could be.
I don't know. And how did the coaches not see this?
Yeah.
Why would the coaches put him out there?
Yeah. Just bench him.
And that's something I don't understand. And I've been complaining about this all year. You know, this soft cushion that Brent Grimes gives, you know, where he plays 10 yards off the ball all the dang time. None of the other quarterbacks do that. Now, they did it when Mike Smith was here. They would have this soft cushion. All the cornerbacks would play way off the ball. But when Mike Smith was gone, they stopped doing that, except Brent Grimes. And you'd look on tape, and you know, they'd be playing man press coverage, except Brent Grimes. He'd be 10 yards off the thing. It was like they went, okay, Brent Grimes, you're special. You do what you want. You know, we'll devise our defensive game plan around you or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I'll be glad when he's gone. I don't want anybody out there on the field. I don't care how talented you are. If you don't want to win and you don't want to get out there and tackle, I don't want you on the field.
Yeah.
I don't care how good you are. It's like I said.
That's true.
I'll say this every podcast if I have to. You give me a group of guys, 53 guys that want to play football, I will take them over 53 guys that are talented any day of the week. You give me guys that love to play football. They want to go out there. They want to block. They want to hit. They want to tackle. I will take them guys that are talented. Any day.
It was interesting to me how they talked about, it's a job. It the way that they talked about it, it was like he's packing his little lunch tin to go down to the factory for an 8-hour shift.
Yeah, they probably said that 30 times. Yeah. You know, people just don't realize this is just a job. This is just a job. I'm going to work, you know, and they even
I don't get paid $7 million in my job.
Well, see, this is really got me. If you haven't listened to Miko's her podcast, but she's real into the social justice warrior stuff and, you know, capitalism and, you know,
That's funny.
Right. Yeah. But even in this podcast, remember they were talking about how the owners are so greedy and all this good stuff and all that. And then they turned right around and they were talking about, you know,
he
wasn't getting paid enough to cover, you know, the number one receivers.
Yeah. And she was talking about how much he's made.
Oh, yeah.
They
talked about his money constantly. But I'm like, hypocrite much?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you sit there and talk about, oh, these people are bad because all they think about money is, and then you just sit right there and you just talk about money all the time.
Yeah.
You're not going to do this because you ain't getting paid enough.
Right.
Who cares if you get paid enough? Aren't you worried about winning? I mean, to me, that would be a sign of respect. If a team comes to you and they say, we want you to cover their best receiver because they're saying you're the best cornerback we have.
Yeah.
And we think you can do it. But he's too busy worried about money.
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
He's better than
that. I don't want him even near. And I was impressed with Miko that she didn't cause a lot of disruptions when they got here. And we come to find out he requested that she didn't do that, like she did at Miami, where she talked crap about ownership and all that good stuff. And apparently she still hates Miami ownership and front office. But she didn't do that here.
Yeah.
And she kept her mouth shut. And, you know, they talked about that, why. And it was because Brent had asked her, please don't cause a bunch of trouble for him, cause drama with my team. And I was happy about that. And then I was listening to this mess. I'm just like, what were you doing on my team?
Yeah.
It infuriated me.
Why were you here? Well,
if it's just a job to you, that's fine. But do your job.
Right.
Do your job.
Yeah.
And do it well. He didn't.
I mean, don't you just have more pride in yourself than that?
You would think, but I don't know. I don't think
it's called a work ethic. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
nobody thinks that they're getting paid enough. Gerald McCoy probably don't think he's getting paid enough. You know what right. I mean? Like, no,
nobody thinks they get paid
I don't
enough.
Think I get paid enough in my job.
I know. I don't
my
get paid enough in my job.
My employers definitely think that they pay me enough.
I'm sure.
I am paid adequately for my job.
You are paid too
we
much
are
for your
above
job.
Market value.
According to
them. Yes.
Is that
exactly.
what they tell you?
Yes.
You're above market.
We're at market. Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
So
everybody thinks they're more valuable than they're getting paid, that they're worth more, you know? But there's guys, he's got all these rookies and all these young guys back there. They're not getting paid crap.
Compared to him.
Compared
yeah.
to him. But they're out there trying harder.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Whitehead. Whitehead That's throws himself true. At guys. He seems to love his pack. in a good way. Or in a not gay way.
In a football way.
In a football way.
I mean, that still could be gay.
That
I don't
still
know.
Could be gay. All the tight
they
ends.
They wear tight pants.
Use of hands. Unnecessary roughness.
Where is it?
It's subjective, I'm telling you. Safe words.
In any case, where were we? Young guys.
Yeah, so you... Calm down, Molly. So you're sitting over here complaining that, you know, you're the highest paid cornerback we have, and you're saying you ain't getting paid enough. You know, when we got guys on their rookie contracts, you know, they're making $500,000 a year, whatever.
Right.
Out there busting their butts trying to get better. And then he's talking about he wanted to be a coach. And then he was talking about, I'm not going to yell at these guys when they mess up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, what are you going to do? You're gonna Venn diagram them or something? This is football. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to yell at guys when they mess up.
Well, he said you can tell guys when they mess up, but you don't have to, like, get in their faces about it.
Yeah, you do. I'm sorry.
It's a man's sport.
That's right. You want to do that, go coach badminton or women's
Soccer.
Volleyball or something. Yeah. Where they all talk nice and treat each other with respect. This is football. Wait until Arians gets in here. You're going to see some cussing, getting up in the face. He doesn't hire a single coach that doesn't yell at people. They yell at the press. So you'd be lucky you got out of here, Grimes. You don't like yelling. Whatever. Anyhow, enough of Brent Grimes. He's
Get
gone.
Get out of here.
He's gone.
Goodbye.
Now watch him re-sign him. Knowing our luck.
Maybe. D'Amico's really going to come after you.
No, after you. You're the one talking crap about her.
I said I liked her now.
Said she spoke well.
She speaks well.
So, yeah, so speaking of which, the new coaches, what do you think?
Okay, so the last podcast we did was the reactions are Dirk getting fired, and it's all depressing. We were both depressed.
Yes.
Not necessarily about Dirk.
No.
It's not.
Never really liked the guy myself.
No.
I didn't dislike him.
Right. We just weren't attached to him.
Yeah. It's the whole.
It's the uncertainty. And we've been through this before. And, you know, the team just blows up and they get rid of everybody. And then you don't know what you're going to get. And then they rebuild for 3 years. And then it's a disaster. And then they get fired. And then they rebuild. You know,
yeah, I was not looking forward to it.
It's an endless cycle.
Yeah.
So that's what's frustrating to me. Mm-hmm. So I've had time to mourn the relationship. I've spent some time by myself. Got to know me again. Spent some time with my girlfriends. And now I'm excited.
Yeah.
The fan base is really energized, so that's nice.
Yes, they really are.
Be surrounded by a bunch of negative Nancys, except for Tom Bassinger on Twitter.
Oh, they'll come out.
Yeah.
They've already come. A Pewter Report has already done an article on why we should, or things to worry about with Bruce Arians. You know.
What is wrong with those people?
It wasn't even 24 hours after he was hired.
They were pushing. They were the ones pushing for him.
I know, but they got to hedge their bets. Oh, but I'll tell you what, the media's going to love him. That's for sure. Because, you know, he's open with them. And I'm going to love him, too, for that reason. You know, he's open. He talks. He's kind of transparent. And he talks football.
Amazing.
You know, when he, yes. When he gives his conferences and his sideline stuff and halftime, you know, when the reporters come over in the halftime and they stick a microphone in their mouths as they're walking by and they go, so how do you feel?
Right.
You know, he gives football answers and cusses.
I like it.
And yells at people. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. You know, you're going to get a bunch of canned responses from Bruce Arians.
Yeah. Did you watch his press conference today? There was one at 2:30.
No, it was at 2:30. I know.
Yeah,
you know what I was doing? I was watching Frozen with the baby. I had to make popcorn and watch Frozen for the 4,000th time.
That's why he's got to watch football all the time, so he can recover some of that testosterone.
Get some testosterone going back in.
Yeah. Did y'all braid each other's hair, too?
Yeah, we're going to have to revisit the dynamics of this relationship here. We're going to keep the domestic abuse hotline ready. No, I was excited about Bruce Arians before, and I really wanted to get him, but I didn't want to fire. I was like, man, but I didn't think he was coming back. I really didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the guy left.
Because he said Cleveland was the only job he'd come back for. Well, he left for health reasons. That's the big thing.
Yes, that was the big thing. You know, and he's retired with his wife, and they live on the lake in Georgia. And, you know, I mean, he just seems like it was. You know, his wife isn't really into football. You know, she wants him to be retired. And I just assumed, you know, he wasn't coming back. And when he said that about the Browns, he said that because the Browns was the only open coaching spot available.
Mm.
You know, he's not going to say, he wouldn't say, yeah, I want the Buccaneers job while Dirk Cutter's still the coach.
Right. Yeah, you know? That's not a good look.
So when he said that, I was like, is he saying he's wanting to come back to coaching? I wasn't even sure then. But then when we fired Dirk Cutter, I was like, oh, please God, get Bruce Arians. Oh, please God. He's the only one. I mean, he's the only coach. I was like, he's the only coach I would be happy about. Everybody else, I'd be like, man. And quite a few coaches, I'd be like, are you kidding me?
Mike McCarthy.
Exactly.
Did he get a job yet?
No.
Oh. Huh.
Oh, Cutter he's offensive coordinator for Atlanta now. So let's see how much of a Buccaneers fan he's going to be now. He said in his last interview that I'll always be a fan of the Buccaneers. We'll see how much he is now. Yeah. Throw a couple games for us, Dirk. But here's the thing. We were worried about the team getting blowed up. You know, one of the big things I was saying, the reason why I didn't want to get rid of Dirk Cutter is because I don't want this offense. This offense is awesome. There's Eric Coryell, the four deep, what's it called?
Deep threats?
The term for it, I can't remember.
I don't know
football
those
term.
Words you said before.
Anyhow, you know, this basically is wide open offense, you know, where guys go, it's not this little dink and dunk crap or whatever. Bruce Arians is the only coach that I know of that is probably better than Cutter at that exact same type of offense.
Interesting.
Yes.
And he had Carson Palmer.
Yeah, Carson Palmer, quarter. Larry Fitzgerald, Josh Brown, or John Brown, Andre Ellington, David Johnson, Chris Johnson. He had a good offensive line with Ted Larson. Thank you.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Got the axe with Lovie when Lovie came in and killed our whole offensive line. Cut it. Dumbest move I've ever seen a head coach do.
I've never heard you say that before.
Every time I say Lovie's name,
We talk about Lovie Smith.
It just infuriates me. Who does that? Who comes in and immediately disbands, not just disbands the offensive line, but a top 10 offensive line? That's whatever.
They were old and overpaid.
They had one bad year. One bad year.
I always know I can get you going. Oh, man.
Half of them are still playing. Ah, anyhow. So he had kind of, a team similar to what we have now. You know, you could say Larry Fitzgerald, Mike Evans. You could say Godwin, Josh Brown. Except now we've got a Humphreys. He didn't have a Humphreys. He's going to use.
Oh, God, I hope we keep him.
Oh, we got to keep him. I'm going to get to all that here in a second. Our roster, what I think might happen. And they were a high-flying offense, because that's Arians is a high-flying guy. He's no risk. You don't risk it, you get no biscuit. No risk it, no biscuit. So, he will. He doesn't play around. I mean, he likes to go deep, and he likes to shut up. You with all these. This is what she does the whole time we're watching football. She's like,
Chris Collinsworth, I swear, is in the closet because he has more sexual innuendos in his broadcast than anyone else.
Yeah, she loves it. She would just constantly turn to me and say, did you hear what he just said? There's children watching.
Anyway, talk about Bruce Arians going deep.
So, anyhow, he runs the same style offense, and he's actually better than Cutter was. So, I'm like, oh my gosh, please.
We already have the pieces in place for him, except for the offensive line.
Oh, he is going to. And, I'm going to get to that. And, yes, I think he's going to work everything better. Because he seems to fashion his team around the skill players more than just, build a scheme and then try to get the players to fit the scheme.
Right. Which I think that's where the Cutter regime really failed.
Yes.
They were trying to get the players to fit the scheme, not the scheme to fit the players.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, look what they did with Ronald Jones. The guy's a runner. He's not a pass catcher.
Yeah.
And that's all they had him do. I mean, what did he run, like 20 times this whole year?
Right. And the same for the defense. I mean, the defense was 100% scheme.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We were a scheme team. We were clipboard carriers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's gone. This is going to be the same style schemes, but with modifications that fit the players and an aggressive attitude behind it, which is basically all I've been asking for.
Right.
It was one of those things where, when I realized Bruce Arians was in the mix, that he was actually wanting to come back for coach. And I was like, I am not even going to try to think about getting my hopes up for this guy. Because if we don't, I'm going to be depressed for months. And then when we got him, I was just like, oh, my God. Because, he's like everything I like in a coach. He's aggressive. He takes risks. He's a player's coach. But you don't get to play around with him.
Yeah, that's what I like. And I think that's what Cutter didn't have, that leadership ability.
No, I don't think he was involved with the players at all.
No. And I don't think the players were really behind him.
No. No, and Bruce Arians is really involved with players. He's kind of the kind of guy that, he knows their names. He talks with them all the time. He's giving encouragement, yelling at them. He knows about their families.
Mm-hmm.
And some players he really grows huge attachments to.
And he and Winston already have a history. Right.
Yeah, I think him and Winston are just going to, they are going to be a bond like we haven't seen in the NFL. Yeah, I think they're going to have a relationship like we haven't seen between a quarterback and a head coach in forever, especially with the Buccaneers.
And maybe that's what Winston needs.
Yes, it is very much. I think Winston is a people person, and he needs to feel a bond with people. And I don't think he had, you know, there's all kinds of reports coming out that Cutter did not like Winston and wanted to bench him. Didn't want to put him back in after he did bench him and all that good stuff. And I could see it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much truth there is to it, but I could see it. Cutter just was seen, you know, he was just kind of cold. He wasn't very personable.
I think so, too. A little more reserved.
But Bruce Arians is going to get our running game back together. No doubt about that.
Do you think he'll keep Peyton Barber?
Gosh, man, I hope so. He better keep Peyton Barber and Rodgers. I hear everybody say, oh, you know, Rodgers, why do we even have him? It's because he's an excellent pass catcher, but he's a supremely excellent blocker. I mean, both of them, both Barber and Rodgers, are just phenomenal pass protectors. And I don't want to see that go. And I'm watching some game film of Bruce Arians' teams to see if he uses the running back in pass protection a lot. If so, he'll know that these two are great at that. I mean, that's really their defining role on our team.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the checkdowns, which hopefully Arians will keep that. Because, man, I just don't want to say. But Rodgers probably won't stay. I hate to say it. But no, I think he'll keep Barber because Barber's a tough little dude.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Andre Ellington. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have a problem with contact, that's for sure.
Right. So Arians brought in Byron Leftwich. What do you
Byron
think about that?
Leftwich. How crazy
Isn't
is that?
So weird. Well, first year that I was a fan, that you and I were together and we were watching games, Byron Leftwich was the quarterback.
Oh, Mr. Windup.
Yeah, and then it was Josh Johnson. Well, I don't know which one was first, Josh Johnson or Byron, and then they got to Josh Freeman was the third.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm just
curious.
So you're
getting old is what I'm hearing. You're seeing players go from players to coaches.
You're not
They can't
funny.
See your face on podcast.
But you can see it.
That's what matters. I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. I
mean, that's crazy. But he was a coach somewhere else. I think at the Steelers, right?
No,
he's the backup at the Steelers.
It wasn't Jags. It wasn't Jet, no?
Maybe the...
Let's look it up real quick. We got this thing called a internet.
It's a series of tubes.
Series of tubes. But then Todd Bowles, what do you think about him?
I don't know. I don't know anything about him. He's kind of boring at the Jets, right? I mean, they were...
Well, he runs... he's always, as far as I know, he's always run a 3-4 defense.
Well, Rick Stroud said that, no, he's done a little bit of both.
Oh,
and he tends to build his defenses around his players.
Okay.
So...
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Byron Leftwich coached at the Cardinals.
Oh, the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
He was a quarterback's coach.
After Arians left.
Okay. So last year he was the offensive coordinator at the Cardinals. Oh, my gosh. Their offense was horrible. I don't know if you can blame him for that.
Well, now he's the pass game coordinator, technically. Yeah, they got a run. They got a run game coordinator and a pass game coordinator.
Really?
Yeah. But I think, I want to say Arians is going to be play calling, though.
No, he said that. Byron's going to be play calling.
Okay.
But this is more of like an internship.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Arians is going to be all up in his crap.
Yeah, probably.
You know.
Bruce Arians seems like a mentor.
Yes.
Because that's how it was with Todd Bowles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he brought Todd Bowles back with him. He's like, he's a son to me.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Now, speaking of bringing guys with him. Here's what I'm seeing is going to happen.
Yeah, so he didn't bring any of the Tampa, the Dirt Cutter coaches back.
None of them are back. Nope. No.
That's
Monken.
A little sad. Duffner, I'm a little sad about.
Yeah.
Not that I blame him, but I just, you know, I think Duffner kind of had a rapport with the players, but.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a fan of clean sweeps.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to change something, just go ahead and just clean it all up.
Yeah.
So anyhow, here's what I think is going to happen, or possibility that I could see happening. Patrick Peterson is coming to the Buccaneers. I don't see how that's not going to happen.
Don't you think the Cardinals are already salty enough about us? They made us give them a swap draft pick.
Swap draft picks in what was it, seventh round or something?
Yeah, sixth and a seventh. Six. Like, we swap our seventh for...
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It was just kind of about the principle of the matter, it seemed like.
Well, they're probably mad, a little bit mad that Arians is coming back and coaching.
Yeah, that he retired and then he's coming back.
Yeah.
So I don't see them cooperating in a trade. Oh, and plus we got Jason Light from them.
Oh, good point. But no, I think Arians is going to make it his mission in life to get Patrick Peterson. The bond they had, I mean, they were like.
Really?
Yes. And we've been trying to get Patrick Peterson for 5 years.
Yeah.
Now we've got some serious leverage. And his contract is voided now.
Why is it voided?
Well, it's not voided. It's, he had, I'm trying to recall. He had signed a 5-year deal in 2013 and it goes up to 2019. But the last 2 years are options now because of some restructuring they did this year.
Oh.
Last year. Yeah, can't remember.
So, have they not picked up his option yet?
Well, it's a really weird, I don't know exactly how it works, but yes. But, I mean, it's like $15 million. It's not chump change. And, you know, we'll probably have to give him some draft picks or something. But he's coming. Patrick Peterson is going to be a Buccaneer. I would always bet everything on that.
How old is he, though?
He's getting up there, but it doesn't matter. I mean, he's a fucking locker room leader like no other. He's completely mature. You ain't got to worry about no off-the-field issues with him. Tyrann Mathieu might come.
Yeah.
The Honey Badger.
I don't remember anything about him except for the Honey Badger. Like, people say his name, and I'm like, oh, that looks kind of familiar. And then they say Honey Badger. I'm like, oh, that guy that was named the Honey Badger, those things are badass.
Yeah.
They fight lions and shit.
I know, they are. They are the most fierce animal in the animal
there
kingdom.
There was, like, a documentary on Netflix we watched about Honey Badgers, so you should.
Yeah, they're, like, attacking herds so of lions. They just go up to them and be like, who wants to
they
fight?
They smack them in the reason. Face. Yeah, they're the meanest things. Yeah. Don't mess with
and
the
and you can't keep them locked up.
So,
they kept building that cage.
Yeah.
They ended up putting a roof on it and bars and all. They kept getting out.
So for that to be your nickname, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, you could kind of be a badass.
So there. Tell me about him. What is he?
What do you mean, what is he?
Tyrann.
Oh.
Mathieu.
He's a safety.
Okay. With the Cardinals?
Yes.
I vaguely remember when they drafted him. Right? Didn't they draft him?
Yes. Yeah, it was some controversy. He kind of fell because I think it was weed.
Oh.
Something like that.
Nobody cares anymore.
Right, yeah, well. I don't know. Yeah, couldn't remember how to spell his name. He's locked in there. I don't think they'll be able to get him out. But if...
So he's at the Texans.
Yeah, 1-year contract. So he's available.
Okay.
He's coming here.
In free
agency.
We're
getting Tyrann. Yeah, this is, it's almost like a perfect storm of crap that's happening. Guess who else we're going to get?
Who?
Mike Lupati.
Who's that?
Mike Iupati. How do you pronounce his name?
Lupati. Lowercase L.
The guard. He's a Samoan guard from Arizona.
I don't know him. I probably know the name.
Yeah, his contract's up this year. Guess what we need? A guard.
Oh, okay.
And he's a pretty gosh darn good one to get.
Do they have a tackle that's...
Available.
Available? Maybe in the draft. Maybe we can draft one.
Calais Campbell.
Who?
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Calais Campbell.
I just like
him. He was with Arizona. Defensive tackle or defensive end.
Do we really need another defensive lineman?
He would be worth it. He's $14 million at Jacksonville now. It's an option year too.
Don't we have enough $14 million defensive linemen?
Yeah, I don't know if we would trade McCoy
I mean,
for him.
We're stacked at defensive line, though. I mean, and we just spent $50 million on the defensive line last season. We have a $50 million defensive line.
But I'm thinking more along the line of people. See, Bruce Arians likes to work with veterans. He likes to work with guys he knows. He also likes to mentor young guys, too. He likes the veteran for the locker room leadership, and he forces them to be leaders. McCoy would not be able to pull this. I am not. No. If you're a leader, you are leading your group.
Yeah.
Vocally.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, JPP's made for that.
Yeah, I think him and JPP are going to get along really, really well. And I think JPP is probably going to clean out the locker room. I think Arians is going to talk with him and be like, so who are these people you said
were, aren't keeping it real?
Yeah, aren't keeping it real. Give me a list.
Dang.
Yeah, we might see some some heads roll on the team.
Frankly, they should. We need to purge this culture.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bad thing, and it's very pervasive.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Opati is a free agent this year. Patrick Peterson.
You're looking up his contract.
I'm looking up his contract. This was, he got a 5-year, $70 million deal, $48 million guaranteed. Okay, that's up.
Yeah, because they always front load those contracts.
Yes. So now he's on a, this was 2014. So he's got 2 years left on his deal. But yeah, Patrick Peterson, I don't know if he'll come. I think he will. I'm pretty sure. Just looked up his contract details again, and I could have swore that this was an option year for him, but I don't see it anywhere. I don't know where I read that. He's got 2 more years left on this guy. But, you know, he talked about getting out of Arizona last year, but then again, he talked about he wants to retire there, you know. So I really think he's going to come.
They say stuff all the time. As Sean Jackson said, he wants to retire Buccaneer and then sold his house in Tampa. So.
Wow.
Could happen.
He's going to regret that if.
Yeah.
When Arian's here. But we're going to get Patrick Peterson. Just no doubt about it. We're probably going to get.
We're probably maybe definitely going to get Patrick Peterson.
I don't know. It's, you just feel things sometimes. You got a gut instinct, and we're getting Patrick Peterson. We're probably going to get the Honey Badger, too. We're probably going to get Mike Capotti. And I think John Brown's a possibility, too. You know, it's one of the things you do when you get situations like this. You look at, say, who's he gonna get from his old team?
Yeah.
And Brown's an undrafted free agent. You know, he's with Baltimore last year, so he could replace DeSean Jackson.
I don't really recall anything about him. What kind of receiver is he?
Good one.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's not Larry Fitzgerald, but he's, you know, he's kind of like Godwin.
Okay.
That type.
But we got a Godwin already.
It can't hurt to have two Godwins.
But we got a Hump, too.
Hopefully we can keep him.
Ugh. He's got it. I mean, you got to see the writing on the wall, though. You get Bruce Arians. You got to. I don't know. I hope he stays. Please.
Oh, he's going to have so many teams.
Yeah. He's Patriots number one.
Yeah. We're going to get in a bid more with Humphreys. So I don't know if we're going to keep him. But I imagine we're going to get a Potty. You know, to help with our offensive line. Although he was injured last year, if I do recall.
What side does he play on? Or he plays anywhere?
Okay. I think he was a left guard last time.
Okay. We got a left guard. Maybe a right guard.
We can move Marpet back over to right guard, whatever.
Yeah.
But it can't hurt to have somebody like him on
offensive line. Can he play tackle?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Play left tackle.
I wonder if Dotson's going to come back.
What I think they should do, right, with Dotson, he was playing like he wants to come back, and he's talking about it.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be back. Donovan Smith, though, what do we do about that? Here's what I think we do.
Uh-huh.
You know, gosh, they're talking about franchising him. That's a lot of money to pay for him just for 1 year.
I don't think he's earned it.
No.
He hasn't earned it.
He definitely has not earned a quality tackle contract.
Quality. No. Not even top tackle. We cannot, even as an above average tackle.
You know, yeah. We have to give him 1 year to say, and it should have been this year, say, this is your prove it year. You know, you haven't lived up to expectations. And we got to put somebody behind him to threaten his job, make him compete. We've never done that with him. And he's just been slavish. Is that a word? Slothish?
Yes.
We'll go with slothish. You know, okay. He doesn't play to the whistle. He quits halfway through plays.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he doesn't even act like he wants to be out there.
Right. He's watching our quarterback get killed.
Because he knows he's had the team by the neck. You know, we can't get rid of him. We don't have anybody else to play left tackle.
Right.
You know? So, put a fire under his ass. You know, give him a 1-year contract and say, God, I hate to give a franchise contract because that means he's getting paid top 5 tackle money.
Yeah.
For 1 year. Well, and then draft a guy, draft a left tackle and put it behind him and say, if you don't work out, we got this guy.
Yeah. He's waiting to take your job.
That's right. So anyhow, that's what I'm seeing happening, man. I'm seeing good things on the future. I'm happy. I was sad when Cutter was fired because I thought the team might get blowed up. But now, if it does get blown up, I got confidence in the captain of the ship. So
there we go.
Bucko Bruce. It's perfect.
Are you going to buy one of those hats that he wears?
I was thinking, what are they called? Kangaroos or roos?
Kangle? I don't know.
What is that called? I would look so silly in one of those. Everybody looks silly in one of those. But
I'll wear one. We'll look silly together.
You look good in one.
I do look good in hats.
You look good in hats.
Because I got a big forehead. Got a lot of landscape. It covers it up.
Yeah, I wonder if they're probably selling them on the website already.
They are.
Are they really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Wow. But they're like a cream color. They got them one specially made for Bruce. It's like a cream color with the Buccaneers word mark on the back.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They have been talking. There's been rumors about them bringing back the orange uniforms.
Well, I have heard some rumblings of new uniform. Rick Stroud is just poo-pooing the whole thing.
He poo-poos everything.
He does.
Oh, and we got to give it up to Joe Bucks fan. Props to Joe Bucks fan. They had the scoop
He's
that Arian was
only
getting.
One.
He was the only one. And everybody crapped on him.
Yeah, including Pewter Report, Rick Stroud, all of them.
All of Reddit. They hate Joe Bucks fan because they're too smart for Joe Bucks fan. They don't like the way he writes or the way they write. So props to Joe Bucks fan. You two Joes for knowing almost a week in advance. What was it, like 4 or 5 days
yeah.
in advance? The day that Arians was going to get hired. That was
right.
impressive.
He wasn't even interviewed by that point.
Yeah, he
like he was interviewed on Saturday.
Impressive. You got Joe Buck
fan. And then hired by Tuesday. But Joe Buck fan, tell us what happened with Noah Spence.
Somebody. Some of you investigative reporters out there. Tell us what happened to Noah Spence. What's going on with him? Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. I'm sure there's a ton of stuff we've missed. We never write notes and stuff. We just come in here and wing it usually.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten most of the stuff I wanted to say after the technical difficulty last night. But I'm excited. Everybody in Buckland should be excited. Bruce Arians is a good coach. He's a good motivator, good leader, good mentor.
Yay.
And, you know, hopefully he can bring in some good crew with him. Don't know about Todd Bowles. We'll see how Leftwich pans out. It's kind of shaky.
Yeah.
But I got confidence in Bruce Arians.
There we go. That's all we need.
And if nothing else, it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
No risk it, no biscuit. All right. We are going to come back. We're going to try to do this. Keep up a 2-3 day a week podcast.
Wow, that's ambitious.
Yeah, it is ambitious. Well, you know, I want to talk about the games this weekend and all that good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to start getting back into our regular routine and stuff now. But until then, guys.
Go Bucks!